This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. 68 degrees, becoming partly sunny this afternoon. That's an encouraging word. Our high temperature today in the low 80s, with numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms predicted for early this morning. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Chance of rain is 70% pretty much all day. Tonight, a little better, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain and low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 20% chance of rain, maybe a thunderstorm, and the high tomorrow in the middle 80s. This threat of rain, at least, will be with us all week long. The fourth week of protest led by the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP has ended in the arrest of more than 50 people last night at the state legislature. The arrest count and number of supporters on Monday reached the highest yet for the group's demonstrations against the policies of the Republican-held legislature. Both arrest numbers and crowds chanting in support have grown each week, with about 150 people facing charges since the start of demonstrations. The state chapter of the NAACP and the demonstrators coming out for protest are angry over cuts to social programs, education reforms, changes to voting laws, and a lot of other issues championed by GOP lawmakers. The supporters and those arrested range greatly in age, race, professional background. There are people of all backgrounds there, and a lot of folks from the Chapel Hill Carborough community who have not only been protesting, but some have been getting arrested. The Chapel Hill Town Council faces mounting pressure to increase library funding these days, but that's just one of many tough choices this budget season. And WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
John Morris was one of a dozen residents who came out last night to ask the Chapel Hill Town Council to increase funding for the newly expanded library.
You know, the people who are most hurt by the cut in hours are not any special interest group or the Chapel Hill elite, whoever that may be. The people who are hurt most are parents with children, families that work long hours, and those who don't have the money to buy their own books and computers. That's who we're standing up for.
Morris presented the council with a petition signed by more than 850 library patrons, all calling for the library to stay open 68 hours a week. Since the expansion project was completed last month, library hours have been cut to 54 hours a week. Town Manager Roger Stansel's recommended budget offers an extra $100,000 for additional staffing to bring that number up to 58 hours a week. But many say that's not enough. Councilmember Jim Ward said he wants to find an extra $250,000 to restore the library to its full schedule.
I want to start that conversation about changing the numbers right now, and I am supportive of fully funding the library hours. To me, evidenced by 2020, evidenced by emails that we got today, evidenced by the folks who came this evening to talk to us, I think that's the old-fashioned version of priority-based budgeting.
But others on the council didn't see it that way. Lee Storo said he'd prefer an incremental increase, with input from the new library director.
I feel that it may not be the most responsible decision for us to jump from where we are right now to 68 without the knowledge and the wisdom of a couple of months, 6 months of operations under our new library director, who might have some expertise that I know I don't have.
Director Susan Brown starts work this week at a time when the library has become a lightning rod for resident concerns about how to balance a tight budget. After 4 years without a property tax increase and 7 without a transit fund increase, Roger Stansel says the budget gaps are unavoidable. He's recommending a 2-cent property tax rate hike to be split between Chapel Hill Transit and other big-ticket items like library funding and solid waste disposal. This year's the first time the council has undertaken priority budgeting, a ranking process meant to better align town spending with community values. But budget staffers say it was only partially implemented throughout the planning process, and some on the council don't see that it's helped at all. Matt Jakowski said the current budget method doesn't help the council when it comes to making tough choices.
In the budget is a proposed 2% increase for employees. Which of those supporters of the library would like to see us reduce our raise to the employees so that we can fund the library? That's priority budgeting.
Last night's public hearing was just the beginning of the budget negotiation process, and looking ahead, Donna Bell reminded her peers to focus on the bigger picture.
I just wanted to see if we could bring it back out, because I don't want to feel like this is a conversation about if we want to have the library funded or not to have the library funded. You know, how do we do all of the things that we want to do?
The council will hold a work session on employee compensation and health benefits at the library this Wednesday and discuss the future of Chapel Hill Transit at a work session scheduled for June 3rd. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Orange County Manager Frank Clifton will present next year's budget proposal when the Board of Commissioners meets tonight. The spending plan does not call for a property tax increase, nor an increase to the Chapel Hill-Carborough School District tax. Despite a request from the school board to raise the rate, County Commissioners could decide to raise the district tax by as much as 5.5 cents to fully fund the school system's budget request. Household sanitation fees could double to $20 for urban residents and $40 for rural residents. Clifton says the increase would go to fund improvements and additional operating hours at the solid waste convenience centers. 10 of the county's 12 fire districts are asking the board to raise fire district tax rates. If approved, the Chapel Hill rate would double from 7.5 cents to 15 cents per $100 of assessed value, the highest in the county. The budget includes money to hire new EMS personnel, IT specialists, and librarians, as well as nearly $500,000 for the Chapel Hill Public Library. In addition to reviewing the budget, the board will also get an update on the Orange County Bus and Rail Plan implementation and take a first look at a plan to host an Orange County Fair. The board meets tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Well, Chapel Hill-Carborough City School Board members are reacting to County Manager Frank Clifton's budget proposal before he even officially presents it. They say this will leave the district short of what it asked for by about $4.5 million. But the county commissioners say it's still early in the budget process. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
We're going to need to be prepared and may need to make some tough decisions in the next coming weeks.
That's Chapel Hill-Carborough City Schools Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze. He explains the additional funds could be made up by raising the special district tax that only taxes those within district borders. Northside Elementary School is opening this year, and in the past, when new schools are opened, an increase in the special district tax has been used to help cover the cost. However, that was not included in Clifton's budget proposal.
Not to see it there and to see Northside left unfunded was discouraging.
Chair of the Board of Commissioners, Barry Jacobs, says it's too early for panic because the commissioners haven't formally been presented the budget yet and still have public comment sessions.
This is like a dance. The school board asks for its, I don't know if I would call it optimal because we can never get to optimum, but their preferred budget.
He says the commissioners recently added several new members and have never discussed raising the special district tax. Clifton and Jacobs both say the Chapel Hill-Carborough City Schools can tap into its fund balance.
We have to maintain some fund balance for cash flow purposes so we can pay our bills and meet our payroll obligations. And so we really didn't see much more available moving forward.
LaFreeze says $6.1 million are available in the fund balance, $3.4 million above the required minimum. He says $3.2 million of the fund balance has already been committed to balancing the budget. He says they can't operate if any more of the fund balance is dipped into. Jacob says the commissioners will take into account the challenges the school board is facing.
That the Orange County Board of Commissioners have a proud history of supporting public education to the highest level we can, and that we're not going to back away from that commitment.
For more information on the current budget proposal, visit our website, chapelborough.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
One more budget story before Rachel brings you up to date on the traffic situation. Carborough aldermen want to hear your opinions on the 2013-2014 budget plan at tonight's public hearing in Carborough. The town faces increased costs to haul trash to Durham once the Orange County landfill closes, as well as rising employee health care costs. But town manager David Andrews says revenue projections are slightly up, suggesting the economic recovery may be taking hold in Carborough. After the public hearing, the board will weigh the pros and cons of installing an ATM in the town commons and consider putting up temporary traffic calming devices on Oak Drive. Aldermen will also offer comments on the draft Orange County Library strategic plan released last week and review the progress of the Rogers Road Task Force. The board meets tonight at 7:30 at Carborough Town Hall. Still want to know who came up with the term traffic calming devices. Just ridiculous. 7:16, 16 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL, and time now for your traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Carborough Family Medicine, serving Chapel Hill, Carborough, and surrounding communities for 30 years. If you like the idea of a team whose goal is your good health, join them at Carborough Family Medicine. You can find them on the web at CarboroughFamilyMedicine.net. And now you can find Rachel Nash standing in front of me in the WCHL studios. And Rachel, how's traffic?
Traffic looks good right now. Nothing, no accidents to report on 40, 15, 501, 54, or the Durham Freeway. Now, if you do see anything
Throughout your morning commute, you can tweet us at WCHL and be a WCHL Road Warrior, or you can call me and Rand back in the newsroom at 919-967-8363. But if you do it, we ask that you do it safely.
I have complete confidence that everybody will this morning. And roads kind of wet out there.
So. Roads are kind of wet, so just watch out for that.
And more rain on the way, as we'll tell you in the forecast here. Thank you, Rachel. Talk to you in a while. The forecast brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full in Carrboro. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right at the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun. Go online to find out more at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. That's glasshalffullcarrboro.com. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill, becoming partly sunny in the afternoon. That's an encouraging note. Numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms predicted for early this morning, at least a good chance of it, 70% chance of rain, chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, too. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, slight chance of showers even after midnight. Overnight low 65, 30% chance of rain tonight, 20% chance of rain tomorrow with a high in the middle 80s. Tomorrow night, still 20% chance of rain with a low in the middle 60s. And on Thursday, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of showers and thundershowers and the highs in the low 80s. See, these clouds are going to be with us pretty much all week long.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It's 7:19, 19 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. The North Carolina Senate has released its $20.6 billion budget proposal. That happened on Sunday night. The plan for Medicaid, a topic that's caused a lot of controversy here in our state, might see some changes.
I just think that's going in entirely the wrong direction. And, you know, it seems to be these decisions are being made with no consideration, I think, for the impact they're going to have on vulnerable people in North Carolina.
That is Ty Hunter. He's participated in the NAACP protest outside the General Assembly in Raleigh and was arrested on May 6th during a rally. The Senate's budget plan for Medicaid adds about $1.2 billion in overall funding, according to a press release issued by Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. However, it will reduce covered doctor visits on Medicaid from 22 down to 10 per year, except for the chronically ill. It raises copays for services and cuts private nursing services by $5 million, among other changes. Hunter says he also did not agree with North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory's decision to reject the expanded federal Medicaid program back in March. It's estimated that at about 500,000 low-income people health care coverage under the program. Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP Chapter President Minister Robert Campbell has also attended to the protest in Raleigh and says health care is one of his main concerns.
We got to be equal about this thing. So if it's not going to affect the top, why are we still pulling the rug under the bottom?
Berger's news release states that Medicaid, quoting here, is a runaway federal entitlement program that is diverting funds away from priorities like education, transportation, and our judicial system, end quote. For more information on the Senate's budget proposal, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Franklin Street's worst driving corner took three vehicles as victims in less than 36 hours this weekend, shutting down the northeast end of the road twice. Chapel Hill Police Sergeant Josh Meesmore says Friday afternoon's incident involved a single car that veered off the road and struck a power pole.
Ann Hines has been charged with two charges, driving while impaired, careless and reckless driving. And the driving while impaired is a blood test, so we won't have the results, the actual alcohol level, back for some time.
That vehicle was reportedly traveling southwest on Franklin about 50 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone. Once she's charged, Hines will lose her license for 30 days. She will then have to appear in court and could face up to another year of her license revoked if convicted. The reckless driving charge carries a penalty less than 1 year in jail, but Sergeant Meesmore says offenders don't often get that harsh a punishment. Hines was transported to UNC hospitals with minor injuries. 33 and a half hours later, a car traveling in the opposite direction had a similar problem, but this time no alcohol listed as the cause.
A car heading toward Durham crossed the center line in the curve there and into oncoming traffic and then struck another vehicle head-on. So I guess in this situation, the difference was that there was another vehicle there.
In that accident, Sierra Roberts was charged with failing to maintain lane control. That infraction is an offense which can be waived by just paying the fine. Two of the four people from Roberts' vehicle, not including Roberts herself, were transported to UNC hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. The driver of the other car was a lone occupant and was also transported to hospital with minor injuries. WCHL News Time, 7:22, 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by UNC Family Medicine. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Well, good baseball game last night at Bosheimer Stadium. The number 5-ranked UNC baseball team slipped past number 8 Florida State last night, 4-3, finishing up regular season play. In the first inning, freshman outfielder Sky Bolt singled to center to score senior outfielder Chaz Frank. Seminoles turned around and tied the game 1-1 at the top of the second against senior Tar Heel pitcher Chris Munnelly. In the fourth inning, sophomore infielder Michael Russell helped regain the lead for Carolina.
Here's the 0-1 off speed. Russell's going to have a couple of RBIs. Winston will get the throw in very quickly. Going to be cut off. And Cody Stubbs scores from second base. And the Tar Heels are in business. 3-1 the score now. No out.
Freshman pitcher Riley Hovis entered the game for the Tar Heels. Seminoles then fought back and scored single runs in the fifth and sixth innings. In the bottom of the sixth, senior Cody Stubbs tried to get something going on pitch number 2.
Stubbs will hit that one into the gap. Not going to be a play for Seth Miller. Cody Stubbs looking for second base. Miller misplays it at the wall. Cody Stubbs going to come into third base. The throw is going to be there, but Cody Stubbs slides in with a triple.
However, on a fielder's choice, Stubbs went for the go-ahead run and got caught at home. Freshman pitcher Trent Thornton then entered the game at the top of the seventh inning. Junior catcher Brian Holberton singled in the go-ahead run of the eighth. His hit allowed Stubbs to score from third base. With the win, Tar Heels finished the regular season 48-8 overall. Seminoles, pretty darn good baseball team, too. They are 44-12. North Carolina reached an all-time best in wins this season, surpassing the 45 wins marked by 2006, 2007, and 2008 teams. Up next, the Tar Heels will compete in the ACC tournament held at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park in Durham. It actually starts tomorrow. Carolina won't play until Thursday. Carolina will play Miami in the second round of round-robin play Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And, of course, you can hear it right here on WCHL. Carolina baseball and ACC tournament. Carolina did not take the prize for most all-ACC honors, according to the coaches, despite wrapping up the regular season and Coastal Division titles. However, juniors Colin Moran and Ken Emanuel received top honors. Moran was named Player of the Year. He led the Tar Heels all season long at the plate. Moran is batting better than .375 of the season and leads the country in RBIs with 83. That's also a UNC single-season record. Emanuel was named Pitcher of the Year. His 9 wins ties a single-season career high while throwing a 2.28 earned run average. He currently leads the ACC in innings pitched with 102 and two-thirds in 14 appearances, all but one of which he started. Tar Heels did place 5 players in the all-conference list. Senior first baseman Cody Stubbs was named first-team All-ACC. Stubbs joins Moran among the top 10 players in the country in RBIs with 66. This season marks the first time since 2009 that 3 Tar Heels earned first-team honors. 2 Carolina freshmen were named All-ACC second team. Sky Bolt captured an outfielder spot despite missing 17 games with a broken foot. He's batting better than .350 and has tallied 10 doubles, 6 home runs, and 44 RBIs. Bolt is the first Tar Heel freshman to be named All-ACC since Colin Moran did it back in 2011. Relief pitcher Trent Thornton earned one of the 4 pitcher spots on the second team. He's throwing better than a 1.5 ERA in 60 and two-thirds innings. He's 8-1 with 6 saves and 21 appearances. Virginia had 6 players in the All-ACC teams. Florida State and Georgia Tech came in tied for third with 4 each. To see the complete list of this year's All-ACC baseball team, visit our website at chapelboro.com. UNC outfielder Sky Bolt has been selected for USA Baseball's 2013 Collegiate National Team. Bolt is the 27th Tar Heel to suit up for USA Baseball, first since Tim Fedorovich in 2006. Bolt was named a second-team All-ACC performer on Monday after having an outstanding season. He's one of 24 players set to play with the team this summer. UNC Women's Basketball Assistant Coach Stricha Stafford Odom will be the new head coach at Concordia University Irvine. Stafford Odom has coached the Tar Heels for two seasons and also helped recruit the number one signing class in the country this year. Carolina head coach Sylvia Hatchell told UNC Athletics, quote, "I am extremely proud of Trish and I am excited for her to take this next step in her coaching career." Concordia University Irvine is in Irvine, California, and competes in the Golden State Athletic Conference. The Eagles have not advanced to the NAIA tournament since 1997, and Stafford Odom will be the program's ninth head coach. She actually played for the University of California and was a two-time first-team All-Pac-10 selection back in 1991 and 92. She was recently inducted into the Cal Athletics Hall of Fame. Stafford Odom also has extensive professional playing experience in the WNBA. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Coach K returning to coach the Olympic team can mean only one thing. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. After categorically denying that he would return as the USA Olympic coach for a third time, Duke's Mike Krzyzewski seems to be changing his mind. Any day or hour now, the announcement is expected that Coach K will indeed return for the World Championships in 2015 and the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. Although he has done a great job restoring America to its place as the basketball capital of the world, Krzyzewski really not should be allowed to lead the Olympians while still coaching at Duke. It gives him a ridiculous advantage over the other college coaches in terms of visibility and recruiting. Can you imagine LeBron James calling Kyrie Irving, Kobe Bryant calling Austin Rivers, and Kevin Durant calling Jabari Parker to tell them what a great experience it is playing for Coach K? Not saying that happened, but if the pros aren't Duke alums, then they are not considered representatives of the university, and certainly could make those calls if they wanted, or were asked. And of course, that Krzyzewski is on TV all summer coaching the USA team, often during recruiting dead periods, doesn't seem fair either. He can't call the recruits, but they can sure watch him. So that got me thinking about his change of heart, if indeed he has decided to return as the USA coach. In the summer of 2016, Krzyzewski will be 69 and a half years old. And my guess is that by then, he will have retired as Duke's head coach. Chasing a third straight gold medal will be like his world farewell tour, when he can be feted as being the greatest coach in the history of planet Earth. That would not be possible in his last NCAA tournament, even if fans knew it was his last big dance, because so many would be rooting against him and his team. Yes, that is also the plight of being Coach K and leading the Blue Devils, the most polarizing program in college sports. So his thinking may have gone something like this. I'm not going out trying to win another NCAA title because whether we do or not, the hate for Duke will overshadow everything else. So I'll coach for as long as Jabari stays in school and then announce the next season will be my last. But it won't be my last rodeo because I'm taking my family and entourage to Rio and have LeBron, Kobe, and the other K hang one more gold medal around my neck. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Mad Science Camp. It's half off. Week-long science summer camps available now. Today's Our Local Deal may help your child fall in love with science while having a great time. Week 1 starts June 17th and focuses on rockets and the physics of rocket flight. 2 starts July 8th and the fields of science, technology, engineering, art, and math are all explored in this new camp. There are only 10 spots in each camp being held for Our Local Deal buyers, so check it out and call soon to reserve. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This is Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton. There's only one thing cooler than Carrboro, and it's got to be Ron Stutz.
Thank you, Mayor. It is 7:30 at WCHL. Time for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant Bar offers daily specials. Today is Let's Toast Tuesday. $2 off Carolina Crossroads specialty cocktails, like everyone's favorite Tar Heel Teeny. Hours and menus available at CarolinaInn.com. Partly sunny this afternoon, 68 degrees right now. Numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms predicted for this morning. We have a 70% chance of rain all day. Look for a high temperature today in the low 80s.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
Special report. I'm Dave Barrett. The tornado aftermath in Moore, Oklahoma. 51 people known dead, but that number could be 91 or some higher total eventually. Correspondent Nora O'Donnell.
Throughout the night, dozens of crews searched carefully in the mud and rain for those who were still missing.
Oklahoma State Trooper Betsy Randolph says they moved gingerly through the debris.
We try to do this systematically so that we don't cause more harm as we go through the areas and we pick through the rubble to find survivors.
This man survived in a shelter, and when he emerged,
the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
This woman made it.
We grabbed our motorcycle helmets and hid in the closet and prayed like hell. And luckily, the only rooms that were spared was the room we were in.
The response from Washington, White House correspondent Peter Mayer says the president will speak.
He'll deliver a statement to the nation later this morning. A federal disaster declaration that he issued overnight will start the flow of funding to support immediate response and recovery efforts in Oklahoma.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Morning, it is 7:32, 28 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill and a 70% chance of more rain today. Maybe this morning, maybe in the afternoon, maybe showers, maybe thunderstorms. Still wet out there after all the rain we had yesterday. Hopefully we'll get a little sunshine this afternoon. The forecast calls for partly sunny skies this afternoon. Our weather, not great, but certainly not any kind of problems like they had in Oklahoma. It is just so sad to hear these stories of what's happened in Oklahoma. How many more of these incredible weather-related disasters are we going to have? I mean, I just feel so much for those people out there having to go through that, and it came almost with no warning. There was not much advance notice of this tornado, and it's just such devastation, and the count just keeps climbing. The fourth week of protest here in North Carolina, led by the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP, has ended in the arrest of more than 50 people last night at the state legislature. So many people unhappy. The arrest count and number of supporters on Monday reached the highest yet for the group's demonstrations against the policies of the Republican-held legislature. Both arrest numbers and crowds chanting in support have been growing each week, with about 150 people facing charges now since the start of demonstrations. The state chapter, the NAACP, and the demonstrators coming out for protest are angry over cuts to social programs, education reforms, changes to voting laws, and a lot of other issues championed by GOP lawmakers. The supporters and those arrested range in age, race, professional background. It is just a diversity of people, many people from right here in the Chapel Hill Carborough community, and certainly you'll be hearing more about this story and more protesting, more commentaries, etc., right here on WCHL all week long as these protests continue. Here in Chapel Hill and in Orange County, in fact, all the governing bodies are facing budget crunch time. Chapel Hill Town Council is facing mounting pressure to increase funding for the new library. But that's just one of many tough choices this budget season. Here's WCHL's Elizabeth Friend with more details.
John Morris was one of a dozen residents who came out last night to ask the Chapel Hill Town Council to increase funding for the newly expanded library.
You know, the people who are most hurt by the cut in hours are not any special interest group or the Chapel Hill elite, whoever that may be. The people who are hurt most are parents with children, families that work long hours, and those who don't have the money to buy their own books and computers. That's who we're standing up for.
Morris presented the council with a petition signed by more than 850 library patrons, all calling for the library to stay open 68 hours a week. Since the expansion project was completed last month, library hours have been cut to 54 hours a week. Town Manager Roger Stansel's recommended budget offers an extra $100,000 for additional staffing to bring that number up to 58 hours a week, but many say that's not enough. Councilmember Jim Ward said he wants to find an extra $250,000 to restore the library to its full schedule.
I want to start that conversation about changing the numbers right now, and I am supportive of fully funding the library hours. To me, evidenced by 2020, evidenced by emails that we got today, evidenced by the folks who came this evening to talk to us, I think that's the old-fashioned version of priority-based budgeting.
But others on the council didn't see it that way. Lee Storrow said he'd prefer an incremental increase with input from the new library director.
I feel that it may not be the most responsible decision for us to jump from where we are right now to 68 without the knowledge and the wisdom of a couple of months, 6 months of operations under our new library director, who might have some expertise that I know I don't have.
Director Susan Brown starts work this week at a time when the library has become a lightning rod for resident concerns about how to balance a tight budget. After 4 years without a property tax increase and 7 without a transit fund increase, Roger Stansel says the budget gaps are unavoidable. He's recommending a 2-cent property tax rate hike to be split between Chapel Hill Transit and other big-ticket items like library funding and solid waste disposal. This year's the first time the council has undertaken priority budgeting, a ranking process meant to better align town spending with community values. But budget staffers say it was only partially implemented throughout the planning process, and some on the council don't see that it's helped at all. Matt Jakowski said the current budget method doesn't help the council when it comes to making tough choices.
In the budget is a proposed 2% increase for employees. Which of those supporters of the library would like to see us reduce our raise to the employees so that we can fund the library? That's priority budgeting.
Last night's public hearing was just the beginning of the budget negotiation process, and looking ahead, Donna Bell reminded her peers to focus on the bigger picture.
I just wanted to see if we could bring it back out, because I don't want to feel like this is a conversation about if we want to have the library funded or not have the library funded. You know, how do we do all of the things that we want to do?
The council will hold a work session on employee compensation and health benefits at the library this Wednesday and discuss the future of Chapel Hill Transit at a work session scheduled for June 3rd. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Orange County Manager Frank Clifton will present next year's budget proposal when the Board of Commissioners will meet tonight. The spending plan does not call for a property tax increase, nor an increase to the Chapel Hill Carborough School District tax. Despite a request from the school board to raise the rate, county commissioners could decide to raise their district tax rate by as much as 5.5 cents to fully fund the school system's budget request. Household sanitation fees could double to $20 for urban residents and $40 for rural residents. Clifton says the increase would go to fund improvements and additional operating hours at the solid waste convenience centers. 10 of the county's 12 fire districts are asking the board to raise fire district tax rates. If approved, the Chapel Hill rate would double from 7.5 cents to 15 cents per $100 of assessed value, the highest in the county. The budget includes money to hire new EMS personnel, IT specialists, and librarians, as well as nearly $500,000 for the Chapel Hill Public Library. Now, in addition to reviewing the budget, the board will also get an update on the Orange County Bus and Rail Plan implementation and take a first look at a plan to host an Orange County Fair. The board will meet at 7 o'clock tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road here in Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board members are reacting to the county manager Frank Clifton's budget proposal even before he officially presents it. They say this will leave the district short of what is asked for by about $4.5 million. That full story coming up in our next newscast on WCHL. And in addition, you can go to our website for more details at chapelboro.com. Carborough Alderman will be busy tonight hearing opinions on the 2013-2014 budget plan for Carborough at tonight's public hearing. So it's up to the Alderman to listen tonight. The town faces increased costs to haul trash over to Durham once the Orange County landfill closes, as well as rising employee health care costs. The town manager, David Andrews, says revenue projections are slightly up in Carborough, suggesting the economic recovery may be taking hold. After the public hearing, the board will weigh the pros and cons of installing an ATM in the town commons, and they will consider putting up temporary traffic calming devices on Oak Drive. Alderman will also offer comments in the draft Orange County Library strategic plan released last week, and they will review the progress of the Rogers Road Task Force. The board meets tonight at 7:30 at Carborough Town Hall. News around town this morning. Chapel Hill Transit is currently running on its summertime schedule with reduced hours. The weekday CN, CW, D, and J routes don't operate after 8 p.m. with different stop times per route. The weekday NU routes end at 8:30 p.m. Weekend U and NU routes don't operate at all. Chapel Hill Transit's Easy Rider service has adjusted hours over the summer as well. You find all the adjusted times by visiting the News Around Town link on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. We'll tell you what's happening at chapelboro.com coming up next, and that'll be followed by today's commentary on WCHL from Robert Dowling.
I was looking for a way to express my love for my wife, to sort of rededicate our marriage after 10 years.
Meet Carl Simon, a typical guy who came to Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
As a man, I have no experience with jewelry. I'm great about football, sports, and random useless stuff. Rings, no idea.
But Carl quickly discovered what a guy-friendly jewelry store Diamonds Direct really is.
The people at Diamonds Direct did such a great job of sort of assuaging all those fears and establishing a relationship first. It was just a really warm and welcoming atmosphere. They don't see you as a commission. They don't see you as a price tag. They see you as someone that they're building a relationship with.
Carl ended up with a beautiful custom-designed ring that was in his budget.
I was really blown away by the fact that this was something that is custom-made. This is something that is not off the rack. It just goes to show that it's about the customer. It's not about moving merchandise.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's direct diamond importer. Great value, but so much more.
Especially a guy like me who knew nothing about the jewelry world and just wanted to go and have his hand held and have someone tell him it was all going to be okay, Diamonds Direct is a place to go.
On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall.
I moved here a few years ago and discovered UNC Family Medicine. I love that the doctors are up to date on the latest medical developments. I love the easy parking. And most of all, I love that my husband and my kids also go to UNC Family Medicine. The reassurance of knowing they are available by email or by phone, plus the knowledge they are among the best family medicine departments in the country, means I have peace of mind about our health care.
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
At USA Flooring, our carpet is smart. How? Well, it's engineered to be, using renewable polymers made from corn. Not only is it super soft, it's super durable.
Oops, sorry, Dad.
Did I mention it has a lifetime stain warranty? Come browse our smart carpets at USA Flooring, 3612 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard. And remember, if it goes on your floors, it's in our stores.
It's not too soon to make plans for enrolling at the Orange County campus at Durham Tech, your hometown college in Hillsboro. Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to tell you that registration for fall classes starts in July. So act now by getting your or your child's transfer or high school transcript together. Then set up a time to visit our Orange County campus in Hillsboro to sign up for our high-demand classes before they fill up. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and catch Ed Schultz from noon to 3 here on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Good morning. It is 7:43, 17 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL.
And now WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Robert Dowling. As the executive director of Community Home Trust, I've always believed in alerting elected officials to circumstances that could impair the success of our inclusionary housing programs. For example, in 2007, we identified a concern that our housing model did not adequately address long-term maintenance. We also proposed and adopted a solution to that problem. More recently, I have discussed the risks of affordable condominiums and the lack of lending options available to our home buyers. Because we are responsible for stewarding more than 200 homes that collectively are worth more than $35 million, I believe that raising these concerns publicly is warranted and hopefully appreciated. The last thing we want to do is surprise elected officials with bad news. My staff tells me that I focus too much time on what we could do better and too little what we have done well. So allow me to tell you a few things that we've accomplished in the past 13 years. Today, there are more than 200 affordable homes integrated into market-rate neighborhoods. We estimate there is more than $2 million of homeowner equity in those homes and more than $10 million of community equity in those same homes. And lastly, I could go on for hours about the homeowners themselves, the teachers, university employees, municipal employees, retirees, and others who are able to live affordably in homes right here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Although our inclusionary housing programs face challenges that may warrant changes to existing policies, I believe these programs have been extraordinarily successful for the entire community. This is Robert Dowling.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue.
The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Time for a quiz. What Chapel Hill Group is investing in our local environment by buying carbon offsets, planting new trees, and ensuring toxic elements don't get into our water supply? And what Chapel Hill Group generously donates to hundreds of local social causes every day of every week of every year? The answer? Chapel Hill's business community. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Local business owners understand that commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals community. Commerce Plus in Chapel Hill. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz.
I was looking for a way to express my love for my wife, to sort of rededicate our marriage after 10 years.
Meet Carl Simon, a typical guy who came to Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
As a man, I have no experience with jewelry. I'm great about football, sports, and random useless stuff. Rings, no idea.
But Carl quickly discovered what a guy-friendly jewelry store Diamonds Direct really is.
The people at Diamonds Direct did such a great job of sort of assuaging all those fears and establishing a relationship first. It was just a really warm and welcoming atmosphere. They don't see you as a commission. They don't see you as a price tag. They see you as someone that they're building a relationship with.
Carl ended up with a beautiful custom-designed ring that was in his budget.
I was really blown away by the fact that this was something that is custom-made. This is something that is not off the rack. It just goes to show that it's about the customer. It's not about moving merchandise.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's direct diamond importer. Great value, but so much more.
Especially a guy like me who knew nothing about the jewelry world and just wanted to go and have his hand held and have someone tell him it was all going to be okay, Diamonds Direct is a place to go.
On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall.
All right, let's. It's 7:47 in WCHL. 13 minutes until 8 o'clock. Traffic and weather together coming up, followed by the clean joke, the word of the day, and today's WCHL hometown hero, Margaret Campbell. And right now, Rachel Nash is in the studio. And Rachel, what's happening at our website today, chapelboro.com?
Of course, lots going on. You can check out the Scene Around Town galleries. There's a photo shoot from Hillsboro Hog Day in downtown Hillsboro from this weekend. Lots of pictures in that gallery. Also, there are photos from a chamber event at the DTH office with a networking gathering after hours. And D.G. Martin has a column up on Merritt's Grill and the world-famous BLT. You can check that out as well, the story about Merritt family and ownership. And also, we have a review of the new Fitzgerald's Irish Pub, which replaced Kildare's, of course, on Franklin Street. And there's just 2 days left to vote for the shortlist award for the best place in Chapelboro for a day date. You can go to our lifestyle section on chapelboro.com.
All right. And don't forget also, let me just mention this. We got lots of great pictures from everybody for our Mother's Day photo contest. And now it's time for everyone to check them out and vote for your favorite. It's all over as far as the submissions are concerned, right. But voting is going on now and will end Monday, June 3rd at midnight. The winning photo is decided by your vote. The picture with the most votes gets a great prize package valued at $500. It includes $250 in cash, $100 in credit for ourlocaldeal.com, and $150 more in local restaurant gift cards. So visit chapelboro.com today. Click on the Mother's Day Photo Contest link and cast your vote for your favorite.
What a great way to win a prize and also give some love to Mom.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, listen, thanks a bunch. And don't go anywhere because you got to take a look at traffic right now. And this traffic report on WCHL is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town. And they're only 79 cents, no matter how big. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with a great chewy ice. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. Now, with your good-to-go traffic, here is Rachel Nash.
And that's exactly right. Roadways looking good to go right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway not reporting any problems or delays. Now, on your morning commute, if you do see something, you can tweet us at WCHL and via WCHL Road Warrior, or you can call us back in the newsroom at 919-967-8363. Again, if you do that, we ask you to do it safely and pull over.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carpet Weather presented this morning by USA Flooring. Now offering smart carpet made from sustainable materials. Soft, durable, with a lifetime stain warranty. USA Flooring, 3612 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard. If it goes on your floors, it's in their stores. When will this cloudy, rainy weather ever end? I guess we should actually count our blessings. It's not worse. Thinking about those folks in Oklahoma this morning. Becoming partly sunny this afternoon, there's an encouraging note. Numerous showers and various scattered thunderstorms early, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. 70% chance of rain. High temperature today in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain even after midnight. Overnight low 65. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 20% chance of rain, high 85. Wednesday night, still chance of rain, low 65. And then on Thursday, high in the low 80s with a 50-50 chance of rain. So the chance of rain will increase again. It's kind of up and down here. 7:51, 9 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, let's join Wayne Pond. And any adventures this morning with the hummingbirds and the squirrels out in your yard?
Oh, man, I'm still recovering from that. That was the most exciting moment I've had out here in months. Sitting here talking to my favorite dreamy DJ, and all of a sudden the hummingbird feeder starts to swing like a Michael Bay movie, and the next thing I know, there's a big old squirrel up there. You know, you should have seen this guy, Ron. It was, like I said, it was worthy of Marlon Perkins. You know?
I've got some of his cousins in my backyard. I've got some of the fattest squirrels in Orange County. And, I mean, they're really kind of fun to watch, actually. They're kind of a pain, but they're fun to watch because they're so creative. And they can get to just about anything.
That's right. Well, let's put them on the Duke diet. That'll help.
Yeah,
them.
Really. That's good.
All right. Well, here's a word that kind of fits in with all that outdoorsy stuff that you and I love so much. word of the day is podulate. Podulate. I think I'm pronouncing this correctly. P as in Paul. P-U-L-L. Two L's. P-U-L-L-U. L-A-T-E. So we got a word with three L's. This is an L of a word, isn't it, right?
Yeah, really.
P-U-L-L-U-L-A-T-E. Podulate is a verb. It has a couple of meanings here, according to the wordsmith. Fascinating word history related to, long story short, to chickens. We don't have time to go into that. I know you're just dying to do that, but we won't. Podulate, in our parlance, means to germinate or to sprout, breed or to produce freely, and secondary meaning, podulate means to swarm or to teem. I was thinking of, what is it, the 17-year cicadas are coming out, and you've got a thing on your website about a couple of recipes that you and Bev love to fry up those little 17-year critters, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Count on it.
He just refuses to rise to the bait, I swear. Like a shy trout. All right, podulate, P-U-L-L-U-L-A-T-E, a verb to germinate, to sprout, to breed, to produce, to swarm, or to teem. So how's that for a bunch of overworked synonyms, huh?
That's a mouthful. Tell you that much.
Okay, stay away from the squirrels, old boy. I'll talk to you in the morning.
Will do, buddy. Have a good day. 7:53 at WCHL, 7 minutes until 8 o'clock. This is Ron Stutz at WCHL, 97.9 FM, WCHL. Time now, ladies and gentlemen, for the clean joke of the day. And welcome to the show, Lauren Stafford.
Good morning. How are you doing, Ron?
Oh, fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's been an interesting start to the week, but, you know, we're getting there.
I just got off the phone with Wayne. Managed to get through that. Now it's on to the fun part.
Well, Wayne's always a great person to chat to in the morning. What can I say? Make sure he has his coffee and we're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know that you have a good joke. I don't even have to ask.
Always. Always have a great joke for you. I do my best to make you laugh. That is my goal every morning. If I can see you laugh, I have a great day.
Well, lay it on me, baby.
All right, this one's kind of long. Please stick with me. I didn't want to give everybody a long one on a Monday morning, but I think it's Tuesday. We've all recovered.
Yeah.
And we can pay attention for a little bit longer.
Sounds good to me. I'm all up for it.
All right. A Minnesota couple decided to vacation in Florida during the winter. They planned to stay at the very same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of their hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules. So the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday. His wife would fly down the following day.
Mm-hmm.
The husband checked into the hotel. There's a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address.
Mm-hmm.
Without realizing this error, he went ahead and sent the email.
Okay.
Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow has just returned home from her husband's funeral.
Uh-huh.
He was a minister of many years who was called home to glory following a sudden heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. I know you're surprised to hear from me," the email read. "They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is not as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here."
Looking forward to your arrival tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah. So whammy twice on that one. So if you paid attention the whole way through, congratulations.
Yeah, you got to watch those typos.
You do.
That happens to me sometimes when I text somebody. You know,
find out
later I text them something totally different from what I wanted to.
I know. And lesson learned: never reply all. Make sure it's reply. It's only the one person. Ooh. Or reply all. You know, that's another good lesson to check with your emails.
Been there, done that too.
I think we all have.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Ron.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
I don't know if you had the opportunity to go to Hillsboro Hog Day this past weekend, but it was quite an event. Friday night and all day Saturday, Hillsboro celebrated itself, and there were about 12,000 people there. A lot of people work hard to make Hog Day happen, but the person primarily responsible for all this is Margaret Cannell, Executive Director of the Hillsboro Chamber of Commerce. This year, Hog Day was a little different.
There was a name change in that we added an extra G to Hog. The festival has, for 30 years, has celebrated barbecue, and it still will celebrate barbecue, but it also will be a salute to the town of Hillsboro's colonial heritage. We felt like we had to do it because one of Hillsboro's illustrious citizens from the 1770s was James Hog, who was a member of the Board of Trustees of the University of North Carolina, a member of the Transylvania Company, a very important merchant, a member of the Constitutional Congress, a lot of other notable achievements, and we figured that since he was here and Hillsboro has such a great history and heritage, we thought we would add that in and celebrate it.
Margaret Cannell is today's WCHL hometown hero. Margaret, thanks for making Hog Day fun again this year.
We've reached out to the food trucks. I mean, they're so popular, so sort of a food truck rodeo. We actually have twice the number of food vendors that we usually have. A little bit of something for everybody. You don't have to come and expect just to get barbecue.
Of course, barbecue is one of the primary attractions, as you might expect, at Hillsboro Hog Day. Margaret says Hog Day is very important to Hillsboro and Orange County.
For the community, it's very important because it's Orange County's largest festival, and it's a big event for the town. Not only does it bring out people who live here all the time, but it also brings people from other locations to come and see our beautiful town, and folks come from other locations, from other local towns, and see how beautiful Hillsboro is, and then come back and enjoy what we have here and spend some money and spread the word and move here and move their businesses here and just improve our local economy.
Of course, there was great musical entertainment on stage, lots of fun for the kids, arts and crafts, and much more. Everybody had a good time.
The Hillsboro Orange County Chamber of Commerce is the presenter of Hog Day. It's also our largest fundraiser. It's important to us because the fundraising aspect is important to the community because of, again, the tourism aspect.
Margaret Cannell, thank you so much for doing what you do best. And that's being a great ambassador for all of Orange County, and especially at Hillsboro Hog Day. You did it again. Margaret Cannell, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL, 69 degrees in Chapel Hill, 68 in Carborough. It's always a degree cooler. We have a 70% chance of rain today. Maybe this morning, maybe the afternoon, maybe showers, maybe thunderstorms. Look for a high temperature today of about 82 degrees.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship